This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The reply of the salam shows that they are good students of Sheikh Hussain. MashaAllah. My students don't do this usually. May I welcome you for this muhadara, for this lecture, and inshallah, it will not bore you to death, but at least we will inshallah try our level best to gain as much reward as we can. People are outside doing things Allah only knows about. You are here coming to listen to the Quran and to the Sunnah and to learn the deen. There is no comparison. So inshallah, we'll make it as easy as possible with the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. The title of the lecture is Balance. But such titles are usually misleading, because balance in Saudi Arabia is different than balance in Sweden, for example. The things that they think is balance, we think that it is extreme. And the thing that we think is balance, they think that it is extreme. So first of all, we have to set the ground rules. And the ground rules are that Islam is a religion of balance. No one can doubt this, because it is the verdict of Allah Azza wa Jal. Can you question Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Thus, we have made you a just or a balanced nation. So Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who made us balanced. Now, in order to have an idea of the meaning of balance, because sometimes people have different views, Muslims, about balance. And this is due to the fact that not all Muslims are 100% true Muslims. And this is not from me. This is a saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who told us that the ummah of Muhammad will be divided into 73 division, sects, cults. All of them are in hell except one. So this is problematic. Am I from that one and all of you are not? Or are you all from that one and I am not? How would I know? How would I come to know if I'm from the saved sect or not? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave us a description. He said they are the jama'ah. So they are the majority. But is majority measured by number, by quantity, or by quality? Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, the companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, said, Al-jama'ah is what coincides with the truth, even if you were alone. Jazakallah khair. And this means that what matters is the quality, not how many are there. Because Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Even if you try your level best, the majority of people will not believe. Allah says this. So it's not the quantity, it is the quality. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jal described Ibrahim, peace be upon him, to be an ummah. He was an ummah. What is the meaning of ummah? Anyone knows? Nation. This is one of the meanings of ummah. Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the word ummah in four different meanings. One of them is an imam. Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan. Ibrahim was an imam, someone to be followed, a leader. And at the time of Ibrahim, there was not a single Muslim on earth except him. Yet Allah described him as an ummah. So was he the majority or not? He was on the truth. So he was a single person among all the kuffar. Another meaning of the word ummah is time. And this is mentioned in Surah Yusuf. وَادَّكَرَ بَعْدَ أُمَّةٍ. The man who was in jail and was set free, he remembered after a while, a period of time. A third meaning of ummah is religion. إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ. We have found our forefathers on a religion. And the fourth and last meaning of the word ummah mentioned in the Quran is a nation, a group of people. As in Surah Al-Qasas, ummatan min al-nas. He found a group of people trying to water their flock and cattle. So, in short, in order for you to be among the ummah, the saved ummah, the balanced ummah, you have to coincide with the truth, with al-haq, which only comes from Quran and Sunnah. And that is why, if you look at Islam, the religion, not at the Muslims, the people who practice it, if you look at the essence of Islam, not a single kafir would reject it. But when they look at us, how we practice it, they will definitely think that this is not a valid religion. Islam is a religion of balance. It addresses the soul as well as the body. And this is why whoever works on purifying his soul, he will be elevated close to the level of the angels. And those who only serve their bodies and neglect the purity of the heart and of the soul, they will descend and go down until they're close to animals. And that is why if you look at the people of the West or the disbelievers in general, what do they pursue? Their lusts, their desires. They do anything to fulfill the desires of the body. And that is why they are taking off their clothes. They're becoming nude. This is jahiliyyah. And also, if you go to the jungles of Africa, you will also find them without clothes because they are in jahiliyyah. So it's the same civilization, but different continent. Whenever you don't have Islam to uplift your heart to the levels of angels, you take off your clothes. You want to show and expose, and you follow your desires. And this balance between the soul and the body is mentioned in Sahih al-Imam Muslim, a beautiful hadith. You all know it by heart, inshallah. Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, met one of the companions, and his name was Hanzalah. And this is Hanzalah al-Usaydi or al-Asadi. He's different than Hanzalah Abu Amir al-Ghasil, the one who died in the Battle of Uhud and the angels washed him between heavens and earth. No, he's different. This is Hanzalah al-Usaydi. He meets Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr, what's happening? Hanzalah says, Hanzalah has become a hypocrite. A'udhu billah. Why are you saying this? He said, wallahi, when we are at the side of the Prophet ﷺ and listening to the Quran, he reminds us of Jannah, he reminds us of Nar, of hell. We feel different. But the moment we go back our homes, we meet our wives, our children, and our business, we do not recognize our hearts anymore. Abu Bakr said, wallah, this is a problem. I feel the same way. That makes two of us. Let's go and consult the teacher, the muallim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they go to the Prophet and he repeats the same statement. And the Prophet said, by Allah, Hanzalah, if you were here as you are with your families, you will shake hands with the angels in the streets. Because the level of iman is so great and it consistent that you're with me like you are with your families, you will see the angels in broad daylight. But an hour and an hour. Meaning that an hour for your heart to purify it and an hour for halal entertainment, not for haram, not an hour for your heart, and then go to the disco, let's have fun and woohoo, party. No, this is not what the Prophet meant. He meant that you have to what? You have to attend your things that you have to do for your body. Eat, drink, make business, make money, put food on the table, see your children, have quality time, which is not related to Quran, tafsir, etc. Now, how would we know the balance? How can we tell? It's very easy. Whatever Quran and Sunnah checks the box as being balanced, it is balanced. Whatever the Quran and Sunnah tells us is good, it's good. And whatever Quran and Sunnah tells us is bad, it's bad. Because your intellect differs with mine. People have different orientation. They come from different cultures. You may think this is good, I think it's bad. So who will draw the line and tells us, no, this is extreme and this is balanced? It has to come from Allah, the Quran and the Sunnah. Now, a beautiful hadith, also in the Sahih, you all know it, inshallah, by heart. And this hadith has two narrations. One, a story between Salman al-Farisi and Abu Darda, may Allah be pleased with them all. And one with the Prophet ﷺ and Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. So which one you want? Okay, different opinion between the scholars as usual. So we'll take the one with the Prophet ﷺ, because wherever the Prophet is there, there is barakah. So Amr ibn al-As, one of the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who embraced Islam at the 8th year of Hijrah, yani just before Fath Makkah. So he was very late. And before that, he was a very strong enemy of Islam. He becomes a Muslim, one of the wisest men of Arabia. His son is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, one of the great narrators of the hadith. Abu Huraira and Abdullah ibn Amr, they have equivalent in the number. But Abdullah writes and Abu Huraira memorizes. So the father finds a beautiful woman from a good lineage of Quraysh, and he weds her to his son Abdullah. Couple of weeks later, he checks on his son's house. He meets his daughter-in-law. Ha, my daughter, how are you? She said, MashaAllah, how's Abdullah? Oh, Abdullah is the finest of all men. He sleeps, he fasts all day and prays all night. MashaAllah, he's the best of Muslims. Amr is a smart man. When a newlywed fasts all day and prays all night, this means that he has no intention to give his wife her rights. So Amr immediately goes and complains to the Prophet ﷺ. I will not speak to my son. He's a hopeless case. If I tell him, said, no, no, your father, you don't pray like I do. He looks down at me. So I go to the Prophet. He goes to the Prophet. The Prophet calls him. Abdullah, how many days do you fast a month? He said, O Prophet of Allah, I fast every single day. The whole year. Fasting every single day. We come and fast Ramadan. He said, Alhamdulillah, it's finished. Imagine, one more day I would have died. But he fasts every single day. He said, no, fast only 3 days a month. O Prophet of Allah, I can do more. 7, 10, 15, that's it. Don't exceed 15 days. One day off. This is the sunnah, and this is Dawood's fasting. Abdullah, how many hours do you pray at night? He said, the whole night. Sheikh, don't you watch The Voice? Don't you? No, Prophet of Allah. And this is astonishing. I found here on TV some of, I don't know which country, some of our sisters wearing the hijab and singing and dancing. And what kind of balance is this? Sheikh, let's understand balance, then we can apply this. Anyhow, so Abdullah, how many hours you pray? The full night. Akhi, what kind of a man is he? Did he used to sleep at daytime? He goes for jihad. But he had an objective that is way, way, way beyond our job description. His objective is Jannah. So the Prophet told him, alayhi salatu wasalam, not to do that. And he told him how long or how, what is the way of reciting Quran? And he said, I finish the Quran once every night, from cover to cover. We come in Ramadan, I ask brothers in my masjid, MashaAllah, how many times do you finish the Quran per year? I said, Sheikh, I started doing that 6 years ago in Ramadan, but inshallah, this Ramadan, I will complete it. If you open the Quran, you will find dust on it. This is a shame. This is Allah's words. But we are unfortunately not putting effort. Abdullah ibn Amr, every single night he finishes it. 30 times a month. The Prophet said, no, finish it once a month. This is the minimum. One juzuk every night. He says, no, I can do more. 20, 10, 7. And he stopped at 7. In some narrations, he stopped him at 3 and told him, no one can understand it beyond 3. Yani finish it every 3 days. So, what's the conclusion? The Prophet ﷺ told him a beautiful statement. If we can write it in gold and put it in front of us in all places we go to so that it would be our motto in life, that would be good. The same statement was said by Salman to Abu Darda. Abu Darda complained to the Prophet. The Prophet okayed it. What is the statement? The Prophet said to Abdullah, Ya Abdullah, Inna li rabbika alayka haqqan. Allah has rights over you. What are Allah's rights? Tawheed, prayer, etc. Your body, in another version, your eye has rights of you, meaning health. Your guest has rights over you, meaning social commitment. And your wife, your family has rights over you. So give all due rights. Now this is balance. I could be the best businessman in the world. I can be rich. I can be filthy rich. I can have huge, wonderful hotels like Donald Trump maybe. But I will compromise with what? With Salat. Akhi, Salat al-Asr, I have a meeting. Salat al-Maghrib, wallahi, we have a conference call. We cannot answer. Isha, so you pray at the end of the night. Maybe you pray one night and 7 days you miss. I could be the best athlete and win medals and trophies, but I will not see my wife and my children because I'm in camp all the time. And I won't be able to make money except if I'm a soccer player, football player. These are the people who make money. But badminton, you make money badminton? Nothing. They're the poorest thing. Look at them, skinny, mashallah. They don't even find food to eat. May Allah Azza wa Jal give them hidayah. And also prayer, fasting, forget about it. I can be the best sheikh. Praying all night and fasting all day, sitting in the masjid with beads, 1,000, saying Allah, 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 Allah. Like some of these people do. Huh? I had a car. It's a GMC car. It is 1994 model, very old. MashaAllah, it was always remembering Allah. When you turn it on, it says Allah, 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 Allah. Beautiful car. It stayed with me for ages, but I had to sell it at the end. So I could do this, but always those who are into religion in the masjid, they don't have money because they don't have time to make business, etc. So there is always an imbalance. I can be Don Juan. I can be Casanova with my wife, you know, taking my children every night to restaurants, to fun fairs. They love me. I'm the best father. I'm the best husband. But on the account of not going to the gym, so I have diabetes, cholesterol, high blood pressure, because I have to tolerate my nagging wife to be a good husband. And I cannot have money because I'm spending most of it on them. And I can't have business, and I cannot learn religion because every time I want to go between Maghrib and Isha or after Isha to the Dars in Al-Khadim, my wife says, no, I have to go and see my mother. So this imbalance makes our life difficult. The Prophet is giving us the formula, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Be balanced. Wallah, and I swear, inshallah, truthfully, if you manage to balance these things, you are the happiest person on earth. You will be the happiest person walking on earth because everything is satisfied spiritually and physically as well. But when you have this imbalance, then you have a problem. Nowadays, all who we know have this imbalance. And that is why some of us live and die only for the paycheck. Some of us live and die for their bank account. How much is in it? Where did it come from? Who cares? I like to see the digits. Halal, haram, who cares? I make one umrah every year. Allah ghafoor rahim. Khalas. And the rest, this is not the way that Allah wants it to be. Some of us have an imbalance on the opposite side. They don't care about their needs, their physical needs. And they only go astray trying to reach spirituality, but through the wrong doors. And this is also an imbalance. They go against their nature. They don't eat halal. Or they make everything haram. Some of the brothers say, Ya akhi, this water is, I don't know, maybe it's still, it's coming from desalinated plants of sewer. And maybe, ya akhi, why maybe? Toothpaste, Sheikh, haram because it has pork. Where is the pork? Pepsi, Coca-Cola, sweets, everything is pork, pork, pork. Some of the brothers have this in them. Why are you so extreme? Where are you getting this knowledge from? I heard someone say something on the bus. So I thought, khalas, I have to. This is from Allah Azza wa Jal. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. And this is wrong. When you look at Islam compared to other religions, you will find it the best religion of all. Some religions tell you to not marry, stay in a church or a place, a monastery or something, be a monk, don't eat this, don't eat that. Some religions say everything is halal, bismillah. Whatever you do, as long as your heart is okay, no problem. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us how beautiful our religion is. He says, but seek with that wealth which Allah has bestowed on you, the home of the hereafter, and forget not your portion of lawful enjoyment in this world. Balance. So yes, we are here to go to Jannah. It may take us 60 years, on average, between 60 and 70. Some of us may live until 950 years like Nuh. But then what? It's khalas, over. It's eternity. No stopping us now. But if you work hard, you live forever in happiness and paradise. Allah Azza wa Jal is telling you, work hard, but don't forget your portion. You are in this life, Allah gives you halal things. So eat halal, drink halal, marry in halal, enjoy everything in this world in halal. This is the balance that we would like. Part of the characteristics of our religion, that it is a balanced religion, that is a religion of the middle path, that it is suitable for every generation and every location. So Islam is suitable for all times. No one can come and say, this was okay at the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. 15 centuries later, this we cannot apply. No, you cannot. Why? Because it was designed, it was made, it was dictated to us by the one who created us. Doesn't he know whom he created? Azza wa Jal, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Definitely. So by thinking that you can hint that the religion is not suitable now, this is total blasphemy. This is kufr. And this we see all over. By the third time, I'm going to stop. I was joking. This we see worldwide when people come and say, Akhi, chopping the hand is barbaric. This is mentioned in the Quran. One of two. You either a kafir or a hypocrite. Both are in hell. You cannot judge or talk about these things in the Quran. This is Quran. And these people come and try to undermine the Quran, undermine the Sunnah, undermine the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in order to reach to their goals. No. We know that Islam is suitable for all times and all generations and all locations. Not in accordance to your intellect, in accordance to the Quran and to the Sunnah. On the other extreme of the middle path or the balance, these extremes cannot live for long. And that is why Islam has been the same for 15 centuries. All Muslims say Assalamu alaikum. All Muslims pray 5 times a day to the same location, fast the same month, make Hajj the same house of Allah Azza wa Jal, prohibit intoxicants, khamr, wine, etc. Prohibit fornication, zina. Hasn't changed. It will never change because this is the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. Extremism, on the other hand, don't eat meat. Why? Because you don't know it's halal or haram. Then why should I listen to you? Why? Because I don't know if you're a Muslim or a kafir. It's the same thing. It goes both ways. Huh? It's not one way. So religion is not by certainty. This is tahir, pure or najis. Pure. Everything here is pure. But I doubt, Sheikh, that maybe throw it in the trash can. This is not acceptable. If you're sure, we consider it not to be. But if it's a maybe or a possibility, it's not acceptable. In Islam, and there's a fiqhi rule known al-yaqeen la yazulu bishak, that certainty is not removed by doubt. And if you apply this, you will be relieved. I receive hundreds of questions every day from brothers and sisters. And the majority of the questions, Sheikh, I have waswas, I have OCD. I go and answer the call of nature and I feel that I have splashed my whole body with urine. How heavy is your urine? When it falls down, it says, I get splashes. What is this? This is iron. This is not urine. And he says that I wash myself 5 times a day, 6, the whole shower. This is all from who? From shaitan. Wallahi, he plays like with us like children play with football. He's playing with your mind. You're certain this is, I have a drop. Where is this drop coming from? I think it's najis. No, it's not. To the extent that even Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, was walking once and someone was washing the house, water fell, and his companion said, and in a narration, he said himself, is it najis or clean your water? And the Prophet told him, to the owner of the house, don't tell him. Why? So that he would not open the door for waswas. Every time you get some water, is it najis? No, don't ask. Are you sure it's najis? No, I'm not sure. Khalas. The default, it is pure. This is a rule of thumb that if you apply it, you will feel relaxed. Not like those who go to the bathroom, urinate, and stay for half an hour. Wallahi, we might laugh, but this is an illness. I've seen people in the toilet coughing. Wait, I thought that he has maybe some illness in it. Maybe I have to save him and take him to the hospital. And I stay. I wait. Then I hear him jumping. Maybe he's now aerobics. I wait for 10, 15 minutes and the man comes out exhausted. He said, oh, Sheikh, salam alaikum. Alaikum salam. What are you doing? He said, I have this problem with urinating. Akhi, people were urinating since Adam. Until now, they still have the same thing. But no one is doing what you're doing. This is all from who? You tell me. Who is doing this? Shaitan. Now, if I ask all of you, and you are all professionals, mashallah, can I have your CV? Some of you said, okay, you will give me, mashallah, 6 pages. 10 pages of CV, of courses, training courses, positions, education, mashallah. Very good. Iblis, shaitan, if I take his CV, it is this much? It's from Adam's time. He knows exactly how you think, how you feel. And this is how he comes to you from the imbalance. You are either extreme in religion, very tough, very strong. He plays with your mind like this. No, three times is not enough. Maybe you did it two times. Let me do it five times. After a while, let me take a full shower. It's better. Wallahi, in 1990, I was in Damascus, Syria. 1990, remember the date so that you don't say, Sheikh went to Syria. 1990, how long? 26 years ago. 26 years ago. It was very liberal. I went there to a masjid to attend a lecture. And I gave takbir. I went and made wudu. And this man was making wudu and washing all of himself. I didn't pay attention. After 5-10 minutes, we went to the masjid. And the man came. Allahu Akbar, we prayed. The man said, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And he repeated it like 6-7 times in Sahih. Allahu Akbar. And then he left Salat and went. And two rak'ahs later, he came with wudu. And he said the same process 5-6 times. And then he left. And after the Salah is over, I see the man coming in, giving takbir and going to make wudu. What do you think is wrong with this man? Shaitan is coming to him. Your niyyah is not correct. Make takbir again. Maybe you are intending to pray Maghrib. This is Isha. Allahu Akbar again. Tell you what, my wudu. Did I wash my foot? Yeah, you washed it until it shrunk. Now it's not the same size. So what are you doing? So he goes on and on and on and on. And people prayed and finished the prayer. And the night was over and he still, Allahu Akbar. This is an illness. Shaitan plays with him. On the other hand, there are those among us who don't care. So everything is easy. Everything is halal. Everything is Allah ghafoorur rahim. Akhi, you did not wash the right hand. There's no trace of water. It's okay. The rest I washed. If you measure the percentage, it's very little. Allah ghafoorur rahim. Akhi, you prayed 3 rak'ahs of asr. Yeah, but Allah knows that I wanted to pray 4. It's okay. It's okay. And he comes to the people like this. These people are the easiest to go into sin. So, shaking hands with women. Halal or haram? Haram. But everybody's doing it. In the airport, in the offices, in some Islamic centers. The sister comes, and I've seen this, unfortunately. I don't want to mention the country. And they shake hands with the other colleagues. What is this? Is this Islamic? And maybe 10, 20 years, maybe, how are you? Everything is fine, alhamdulillah. Yes, Sheikh, the iman is in the heart. Don't be too extreme. This is how shaitan plays with us. He manipulates us because we are far away from Quran and Sunnah. But if we have Quran and Sunnah here, then whatever I do, I'd like to drink a glass of water. So this is an example because I do want to drink a glass of water. So he comes to me and said, Bismillah. This is an action. I have to go through the filtering system. Drinking with the left hand, is it right or wrong? No, the Prophet said that the shaitan eats with his left and drinks with his left. Then this is haram. Bismillah. Akhi, this is extreme. You find people telling you this. You go to the restaurants and you find people, mashallah, westernized, you know, fork with the left, knife with the right, tiny small pieces of meat, mashallah, very civilized. You feel that very sophisticated, mashallah, PhD holders, engineers. Akhi, this is haram, you're eating like a shaitan. But they don't know. Or they know, but they are arrogant. And they say, it's all halal, it's no problem. This is how shaitan plays with us. We have to always go back to the basics. Sometimes we feel that the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, are the best of generation. And they are, without any doubt. However, even them, they had few diversions, but they had who? They had the Prophet ﷺ to fix them. We don't have this. We have the Quran and the Sunnah only. 3 men came to the Prophet's houses, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and asked the mothers of the believers. And they said, O mother of the believers, what is the routine of the Prophet in worshipping Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And they told him, he sleeps and he does this, he does that. The three men thought that this was very little coming from a prophet. He said, yeah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah has forgiven all his previous and upcoming sins. We're not like him. So one of them said, I will pray all night and will never sleep. The second one said, I will fast all day and will never break my fast. Every single day. The third one was the luckiest. He said, I will not marry women. He wanted to relieve himself from headache. Anyhow, so the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he heard of this, was he okay? MashaAllah, these are my companions, they are monks. He was angered by it. And he went to the minbar and he said, why do people say so and so and so? By Allah, I sleep and I pray. I fast and I break my fast and I marry women. Whoever want or desire a path other than my sunnah is not from me. So whenever you want to do something tomorrow, how do I know if I'm balanced or not? Compare it to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. You will never go wrong. And if we manage to do this, in this case, we can balance. We balance in issues of aqeedah, in issues of fear and hope. Because we know that in Islam, there are three things essential for your aqeedah. The love of Allah. I met a Saudi gentleman once. He prays in the masjid. He's a pilot, airline pilot. And I was speaking to him, and he was saying to me, I don't love Allah. He's westernized, you know, he goes and travels places. Wallah, this is what he said. And I said, ya Sheikh, fear Allah. How do you say this? Don't you pray? He said, I pray 5 times a day. I fast Ramadan, but I'm afraid of his hellfire, but I don't love him. Such a person is stupid because he did not think of Allah's favors and blessing. If someone, while you're walking, says, Akhi, you've dropped your wallet and in it, your salary and your ID cards and everything you need, how would you feel? You would like to give him a gift. You're so happy with him. Akhi, Allah is not giving you the wallet. Allah is giving you everything you have. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. Every single favor and blessing is from Allah. Take off your glasses if you have glasses and put your hands on your eyes and enter the toilet when it's dark and try to, like my friend, urinate. You will make a mess. And this is the blessing of sight, the blessing of hearing, the blessing, ya akhi, when you eat something bad and your stomach hurts, how would you feel? When you get influenza, flu, and you're 4 or 5 days bedridden, shivering, Allah is giving you so much, but you're not grateful. You use what Allah is giving you in sin. And this is why you have to love Allah. So the love of Allah is the head of a bird, as the scholars explain. And fear and hope, fear of Allah's hell, hope in Allah's forgiveness and paradise, are the wings. If you have one more than the other, how would the bird fly? In not a normal way. So you have to have the balance between them. Muslims have the balance. They fear hell, but they also are hopeful. They're not fear. If they fear hell only, they will become despair. They will lose hope. And if they are so hopeful in Jannah, they will make sins because Allah will not put us in hell. He will put all the kafir, the Jews, the Christians. No. I will not. And this is why Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. Look at the balance. Umar is the second Khalifa. He said, if a man were to call from heavens, all of you on earth are in hell except one, I would have hoped that I was the one. This is hope. And if someone called, all of you are in paradise except one, I would fear that I am the one. So hell and heaven, there is this balance. Muslims have the balance in their i'tiqad, in their belief. Yani for example, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, it's us, inshallah. Who are the extremes? On the far right, we have the extremists, the radicals, the khawarij, who give takfir to everybody. Even if they look in the mirror, you're kafir. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just used to it. Sorry. They give takfir to everybody. In Saudi, some of them who are brainwashed, they even give takfir to their parents. One of them killed his uncle. A few months ago, one of them, or two of them, or six of them, from the same family, killed their cousin because he works in the army. They took him to the desert. We want you to help us. And they slaughtered him. Now, these extremists, they don't relate to Islam. The Prophet told us, alayhi salam, that they are the hounds of hell. Yani in hell, they will be like dogs. Why? Because on earth, they were attacking Muslims. And they say that you're not a real Muslim. Okay, akhi, go attack the disbelievers. No. They're disbelievers. You are worse. This is what they think. And on the far left, we have the liberals, the secularists, that only have a tag with the religion saying Islam. They don't pray. They don't fast. They want everything haram to be halal and everything halal to be questionable. And they try their level best to undermine Islam. What is their Islamic name? Their Islamic title. Munafiqun. These are the hypocrites who can claim to be Muslims, but actually they're not. So you come to the middle path in following. Islam is the middle path. What do you mean by that? We have two extremes. We have someone who says, I do not follow any school of thought. All school of thoughts are not good. No Hanafi, no Shafi'i, no Hanbali, no Maliki. Okay, where are you coming from, mashallah? You're a genius. You don't follow anything? He said, yes, Quran and Sunnah. And we have people like this, you know, so Quran and Sunnah. Akhi, do you know Arabic? He said, no. How do you follow Quran and Sunnah? My Sheikh follows Quran and Sunnah. So you're following him. Follow Abu Hanifa instead. But on the other extreme, you have people saying, if you don't follow Hanafi madhab, you're kafir. If you don't follow Shafi'i madhab, your prayer is invalid. Akhi, we have Quran and Sunnah. So no. And this is found, by the way, in their books of those who are blind followers of madhab. You stick to one madhab, regardless if it's right or wrong, regardless if there is a clear ayah saying haram or not, we follow the madhab. And this is extreme. What is the middle path? The middle path is to follow the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the four schools of thought, with the Salaf, with the people of the previous generations, not from my own head. What did Ibn Abbas say? May Allah be pleased with him. What did Imam Malik say? What did Imam Shafi'i say? And we cross-examine and we can come with a conclusion. These are the scholars of Islam. You cannot say just simply with a pen, no, I will not take from them anymore. I am Sunnah or Quran. I'm Salafi. I'm super Salafi. I'm extremely Salafi. I'm extremely sorry, akhi. You're following the wrong methodology again. Part of being balanced is that you are easygoing. When you find a sheikh, a scholar who is tough and rough, and yani mashallah, he's like the wolf who will blow on your homes and it will all go away. This is not a sheikh. The Prophet was not like this. The Prophet used to smile. The Prophet used to joke with his congregation, but always tells the truth, never tells a lie. The Prophet's face was the most beautiful, alayhi salatu wasalam. So easiness, kindness is a characteristic of those who follow the balanced way, who follow the middle way. And this is why whenever the Prophet used to send, alayhi salatu wasalam, his messengers to the regions, he would say to them, make things easy, don't make it hard to people. Always cooperate and do not dispute and have argument upon you. Now, but part of the balance is that you do not kill yourself. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill yourself. How would I kill myself? If I'm sick, and if I fast, I will deteriorate or maybe die. It is prohibited for me to fast. If I take a shower, because I have to pray. And taking a shower would mean that my burns or my wounds would also be affected. It is prohibited for you to take a shower. So religion is a religion. One does not say, no, I'm strong, I can manage. This is not the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There is the balance in expenditure. When you spend money, so you have to be balanced. And for example, Khadim now preparing dinner for you all after this lecture. And no dinner? No dinner. Okay. This is part of the balance, because we have bigger project. Balance is that you don't spend all what you're having and then begging people, and not withhold until people say he's miser, he doesn't give in charity, he doesn't feed the food. No. The Prophet ﷺ told us to be in the middle path. And this is why Allah says, and let not your hand be tied like a miser to your neck, nor stretch it forth to its utmost reach like a spendthrift, so that you become blameworthy and in severe poverty. No, you have to be in the middle path. How much time we have? 10 minutes? Okay. طيب, there is أمر معروف النهي عن المنكر. You know what that is? Is enjoining good and forbidding evil. You have to do this. This is an obligation. But you also have to balance it. You don't go to someone who's drunk and a bottle of scotch in front of him, his eyes are red, and he has a 9mm in his hand playing with the trigger, and you say, fear Allah, don't you know khamr is haram? And he does, shoots you. No, this is imbalance. And at the same time, you don't see a lot of sins coming, and you don't even say the word of advice, akhi, this is haram. In the office, mixing, smoking, not praying. Why don't you give nasiha? MashaAllah, your beard is longer than Fidel Castro. Why don't you give nasiha and advise people? He said, I have to have the balance. There is no balance here. There is only being coward or being lazy. You have to have the balance. Okay, when can I be extreme or when can I be soft in enjoining virtue and good? Because the Prophet used to do this, alayhi salam. So sometimes you have to also learn how to apply the sunnah. A man comes in the masjid, urinates, and the Prophet and his companions are watching. What would you do? I would kill the man. But the Prophet ﷺ told him, no, leave him. Why? If they were to startle him, he would make the whole place filthy. But now he is contained in a very small place. Afterwards, the Prophet calls the man and he tells him, my nephew, this is not inappropriate in masjid. It was not made for najas. It was not made for filth. It was made for Quran, prayer, and dhikr Allah. The man prays with the Prophet ﷺ in prayer, in congregation, and he says, everybody's hearing, oh Allah, have mercy on me and on Muhammad, and don't have mercy on anyone else. Why? Because he loved the way of the Prophet ﷺ teaching him. But everyone else, they wanted to hit him, so he was terrified of them. So he doesn't want Allah's mercy to be... See, the Prophet here was what? Was soft, was kind, because he's ignorant. But when Abu Dharr, the old immigrant, the old companion of the Prophet ﷺ, spoke to Bilal and told him, Bilal, your mother is black. طيب, why are you, Bilal, angry? His mother is black. His mother is truly black. She's from Abyssinia. Yeah, but Abu Dharr did not say it as a compliment or as a fact. He said it as discrediting him. When the Prophet knew about this, والسلام, he said, Bilal, Abu Dharr, you're a man of arrogance and ignorant. He said, oh Prophet of Allah, after migrating 13, 12 years ago with you and being among the first, I am a man of jahiliyyah, of pre-Islamic era. He said, yes, because of what you said. In another incident, a man in Sahih Muslim, you all don't know the hadith, of course, a man was eating with his left hand. The Prophet saw him, he said, eat with your right. The man said, I cannot. A lot of the people we know are like this, ignorant and arrogant. They can, but they don't want to. The Prophet said, may Allah make you unable to do that. لا استطعت, he said. And the man's hand was paralyzed. He could not lift it to his mouth. Why? Because this is different than an ignorant. He is arrogant. He has defiance in his heart to Islam and to the Sunnah and rejecting. And there are so many examples, but the time does not allow us to do this. Can go on? What about the dinner? No dinner? Okay, they said prolonging it a little bit. Okay. Now, also, part of the balance is to go against what your soul desires if it goes against the Sharia. How is that? We have imbalance in our affection. If we love someone, we take them to the roof as if they are prophets of Allah. And the minute we hate them, we make them disbelievers. We don't believe in a Muslim. No, he's either a saint, a messenger, or a kafir. And this is a problem. And this happens also with us in houses, with our spouses. A wife loves her husband greatly. The minute he mentions that my mother said, khalas, he becomes shaitan. Why did you bring her mentioning? She's my mother. She said, yes, but you know what she did 16 years ago? She didn't invite me to her sister when she came. Subhanallah. And by the way, the same goes with men. And even worse. But women are weak. We can make jokes at them. They will not hit back. Men, it's a big problem. So that's why I'm a little bit selective. Anyhow, we have a problem with our emotions. When we love a scholar, we make him a saint. Whatever he says is correct. But he made a mistake. No, he doesn't make mistakes. And if we hate someone, even if he recites an ayah of the Quran, this is not from the Quran. We have this problem. Overreacting is part of our imbalance. If I'm driving in Saudi, here you drive good, mashallah. Malaysian people are very nice, very, very easygoing. In Saudi, mashallah, when I get in my car, I put my helmet. And I become a different person. You know, I became very aggressive. And when we drive, if someone cuts over me, he made a mistake. I will follow him until Mecca. Just to cut over him. Seriously. This is how we feel and how we drive. Why? So many times someone does something wrong to you. Islam tells you, you may do the same thing wrong back to him or pardon him. And it's best you pardon him. People overreact. So instead of balancing the reaction, we have men divorcing their wives. Why? I divorced my wife yesterday, Sheikh. Can I reconcile? They come to me, said, why did you divorce her? Well, Sheikh, she prepared the food and the salt was too much. Said, okay. Then what? Said, I told her 6 times, don't put so much salt, and she doesn't listen. I divorced her. This is like having a mosquito without Zika. Huh? Having a mosquito on your hand and you bring a cannon. Boom. What is this? I'm killing a mosquito. Yeah, but this is an overkill. This is too much of reaction. You have to know how to balance your emotions in order to be a real Muslim. And that is why this balance of emotion is what we must require, especially with road, age, etc. Al-Shafi'i, may Allah have mercy, and the majority of you are Shafi'i here. Shafi'i is one of the greatest imams of all times. He's the sheikh of Imam Ahmad in fiqh. And he used to say, Imam Ahmad, that all people are children and students of Shafi'i in fiqh. He's the first one to write in Fundamentals of Fiqh when he wrote his book, Al-Risala. Anyhow, Al-Shafi'i once said, my views are correct with a possibility of mistake. And my opponent's views are wrong with a possibility of being correct. Who among us use this way of communicating? No, you're wrong and I'm right. Give some way for going back. This is the balance that we should have. in our communication. So many sisters complain from their husbands, truly and correctly. Their husbands are oppressive. They don't communicate. And so many divorces take place because of lack of communication. If you always give the benefit of the doubt, I might be wrong. There might be. Don't jump to conclusions. This balance would make your life easy, inshallah. When it comes to love and hate, this balance in affection, it is part of Islam. Some people say, Islam is a religion of peace. Islam is a religion of love. Islam is a religion of tranquility. All of this is true, but indefinitely, said, yes, we love everyone. We love pigs. We love dogs. Wait, where are you going, akhi? This is not true. On the other hand, when you have nicest, you know nicest. What is nicest? Non-Islamic state of Iraq and Syria. Never ever say ISIS. Because in the media, they say, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria bombed, killed, slaughtered. Islamic State doesn't do this. This is the non-Islamic State. They are not related to Islam. So when you come to ISIS, they say everybody's kafir. We hate everybody except the mirror. We hate everyone. So this imbalance is wrong again. Muslims hate and love. Have peace and wage war. This is the balance of the Prophet ﷺ, who said that love in the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah and having friends for the sake of Allah and having enemies for the sake of Allah are the tightest knots of Islam or Iman. أوثق عرى الإيمان. The tightest knots of a rope. No, Iman. Of Iman is to love and hate, is to have friends and to have enemies. So you cannot say, oh no, no, Muslim, they befriend everybody, even their enemies, even those who kill them and slaughter them, they are their friends. No. But at the same time, they don't take everybody to become their enemies. The Prophet ﷺ used to deal with the Christians, used to deal with the Jews, used to accept the invitation of Jews when they invite him for lunch, for dinner. Like in the woman, the Jew woman who put poison in the ram she cooked for him, she invited him and he attended, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This shows you the true and correct balance. So if we would like to balance, how would we know the right way? The answer is, as stated before, I'm not going to repeat the lecture again. The answer is to know well your Quran, to learn well your Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, to read his seerah. It's a big problem when you find Muslims not knowing the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. If I say, Salamata ibn al-Akwa', what is this? Is this a battle or a man or an address or a massage parlor? I don't know. What is this? Salam ibn al-Akwa', who knows Salam ibn al-Akwa'? Raise your hand. واحد اثنين ما شاء الله two very good. Is this possible? سلمة بن الأكوع, one of the bravest warriors who walked on feet, and one of the fastest and one of the best athletes of all the companions of the Prophet, but we don't know him. I once asked this survey in a school of 1500 students, give me the names of the 10 heaven-bound companions. The result was zero. On the contrary, I got names, subhanallah, Amr ibn al-Khattab. I know Umar. Amr ibn al-Khattab, this is new. If I asked you about the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, said, Asma. No, Asma is not one of them. Is he divorced? No, he never married Asma. Subhanallah, where did I get this name from? I once went to a hospital to visit a doctor. So at the reception, the lady was telling me, what's the name of your patient? I said, Juwayriya. She said, Ju what? In Arabic. I said, Juwayriya. You know Juwayriya, bint al-Harith, the wife of the Prophet Sam, the aunt of Abdullah ibn Abbas and Khalid ibn Walid, and etc. So, no, that was Maymuna, sorry. Juwayriya bint al-Harith min bani al-Mustalaq. This is different. Was it Juwayriya or was it Maymuna? I have both daughters, by the way. So, anyhow, so she said, why? Meaning that, يعني يا حرام, why are you giving her this name? I said, this is the mother of the believers, the wife of the Prophet. She said, Juwayriya? And she was an Arab. She was a Muslim wearing the hijab. So sort of what they call the hijab. And she was astonished. She never heard that the Prophet had a wife by the name of Juwayriya. This is a big problem. So you learn the seerah of the Prophet. You know when Mu'tah took place, the Battle of Mu'tah, when Al-Khandaq took place, when Tabuk took place, what is that Al-Qarad, what is Al-Muraysi', what is Banu al-Nadir, Banu al-Qaynuqa', what is Bani Qurayza. When you know this, you have dignity, pride. You know how to balance things. No, I cannot do this. The Prophet didn't do it, alayhi salam. Oh, yes, I should do this. The Prophet did this, alayhi salam. You have the balance, but when you like nicest, you don't even know what the Prophet did or what the Prophet did not do, alayhi salatu wasalam. They don't even speak Arabic. Kill. Fawz fi sabilillah. Allahu Akbar. That's it? Yeah, khalas, jihad. Boom. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. This is not related to Islam. When you don't have knowledge, you have ignorance. And when you have ignorance, this is what leads people to doing it. Part of being balanced is not to be haste. To always have patience. Think before you act. And this is the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now when the Prophet wants to do something, isn't that the best thing to be done? The answer is yes. If the Prophet wanted to do something, definitely it is halal. Definitely it is the right thing to do. However, the Prophet used to think alayhi salam of the consequences. If I do this, what will happen afterwards? Good or bad? If bad, I will stop. Though it's a good action. Example, the Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام, to Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. Ya Aisha, had it not been to the fact that your people are close related in time to pre-Islamic era. Yani they have just accepted Islam a few months ago. Had it not been to that fact, I'm afraid of this, I would have demolished the Kaaba and built it again on the foundations of Ibrahim. You know this ark? What is it called? Al-Hatim. In colloquial language, they call it Hijr Ismail. This is part of the Kaaba. So if you go inside in Tawaf, your Tawaf is invalid. The Prophet wanted to demolish it, to build it again on the foundations of Ibrahim, on the pillars of Ibrahim, and have two doors, one for the people to enter and one for the people to exit if they want to see it. Okay, Prophet of Allah, why didn't you do it? He said, because if I do this, those new Muslims would reject Islam. And they would say, "Ha, he's not a messenger of Allah. He's humiliating the house of Allah. He is so and so." And they would reject Islam. So the Prophet was thinking of what? Of the consequences. We have so many people like this. Once I was talking to a brother, he's telling me I have shredded papers of Quran. What to do with it? I said, burn it. Fi Allah. Talking to me? He said, yes. You want me to humiliate the Quran? I said, no, akhi, burn it to preserve it. This is the word of Allah. Burning it is halal with the intention of saving it and preserving it instead of being torn and scattered. I said, no. This is haram. I said, Akhi, if you know the fatwa, why do you come to me? Go to someone else. MashaAllah, you're knowledgeable. So people have weird way of thinking without knowledge. So you have to be patient. Finally, I think that dinner might be. I'm not promising anything. Finally, is balance a choice that we have to make? No. This is our destiny. You don't have a choice of, let me be balanced or imbalanced. No. To be a Muslim, you must be balanced Otherwise, you have a big problem because you're not complying with the Quran and the Sunnah, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. Wallahu a'lam wa nisbatul ilmi ilayhi aslam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad.